It is 8:12, and it's time for On the House. Once a month, we get a chance to check in with Jesse Davis about different issues going on when it comes to our homes and home improvement. Jesse Davis is a area real estate agent. Morning, Jesse. Thanks for being with us.
Let me unmute myself. Hey, good morning. It's nice to be here. It seems like we were talking not too long ago.
So today,
you know, like usual, we're talking about things connected with housing, but we're going to be talking about a new housing development that's kind of been in the works for quite some time and just had groundbreaking this Monday. So I'm really excited to talk to our guests today. I have Diane Larson from the Housing and hopefully I get this right, Redevelopment Association, or agency, or authority. She's very authoritative. She's going to smack me down. You just watch. And then I also have Chris Jenkins from Northland Counseling. And so they're going to tell us a little bit about the Aurora Heights project that is breaking ground where the old Riverview Elementary School used to be, real close to the YMCA. So Diane, Chris, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So why don't we just start kind of from the top? You know, what is this Aurora Heights project, and you know, what was the seed? How did it get started?
So Northland Counseling Center owns a property we call Midway Villa. We've owned it for 20 some years, and that used to be the location where we had the Keesler Clubhouse operating out of, and that has since moved to the Keesler Wellness Center behind Walmart. And we also have 14 units of housing there that are for people coming out of long-term homelessness. And those housing units are, you know, think dormitory style housing. It's one bedroom units that are, I think we calculated about 180 square feet each. And then they share a kitchen and living room and bathroom. So not, you know, what most of us would think is the nicest living situation. And so we've kind of been hoping and looking for opportunities for a while about, you know, how could we maybe get them into a more typical type of apartment setting where they would have their own kitchen and bathroom, kind of their own space that would have all the amenities that, you know, that we would expect.
Okay.
So I'll jump in and springboard from what Chris said. So back in January of 2019, there were several area housing partners that came together, and we knew that Midway Villa needed to have something done with it. We had just had a housing study done for four different communities in Itasca County, and we knew there was a need for additional affordable housing. Particularly, we were interested in developing some workforce housing for families and workers in our community. We also knew we had a need for some larger size rental units that are extremely hard to find throughout Itasca County. So we put our heads together and we decided to go all in. And we had a deadline of June of 2019 of getting an application into Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to actually do a new housing project where we would take the rental subsidy that's currently at Midway Villa and allow those residents to move into brand new housing, but make it bigger than 14 units and target some of our workforce and try to do a couple of four-bedroom units. So we worked really hard for those 4 or 5 months and got an application in June of 2019.
Cool. And, you know, I can definitely concur with just how challenging it is for families to find, you know, three or especially four bedroom, whether it's rental houses or rental apartments, and to especially find them at a, you know, affordable rate. I've seen four bedrooms, you know, renting for as much as $1,400, $1,500 a month, and they're not particularly all that nice either. So I can just imagine that there's some hardworking families out there, especially now with all the distance learning, that are just probably lining up to get into some new housing. So Diane, you mentioned this workforce housing. Can you flesh that out a little bit? What exactly does that mean?
Well, by workforce housing, I mean that we are targeting those families that might typically not qualify to live in a tax, this is funded in part by investors, tax credit housing. And they might not typically, their incomes might just be a little bit too high to typically afford to live in a tax credit project. Aurora Heights will actually allow us to go up to 80% of area median. Now, maybe to our listeners out there today, that doesn't mean much. But in terms of actual income, what that means is a family, let's say a family of two, they could make up to about $46,500 annually and still qualify to live here. A family of four could make up to almost $58,000. Okay. So we are targeting those families that are working in our community, might have high childcare costs, but they'll still have an opportunity for a nice, safe place, affordable place to live.
So Diane, what makes them affordable? I mean, how does that all work out? What does that value mean?
The affordability comes in the type of financing that we're able to secure for a project like this. And I guess I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, because of this project, which the total project cost is about $13.3 million, Minnesota Housing, we have about $6.5 million of state funding coming into this project. And that's what makes it affordable. It allows us to keep those rents a little bit lower than if we didn't have that type of financing.
Now, Diane, Chris, typically, you know, the economists would tell us that housing should be no more than 30% or maybe one third of your household budget. Does that sound correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, now the $13 million, that's just construction costs, correct?
No, the $13.3 million is our total development cost.
Okay.
Chris, our construction cost is what? Just over $10 million. Does that sound correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And so that's $10 million that's going to local construction companies that's hiring workers, or if those workers are coming from out of town, if they're specialists, they're going to be staying in local, local hotels, eating out. I mean, this is money that's really going to be pumped back into our economy, right?
Absolutely. We expect there to be many local subs on this project. If you drive by, you'll see local subs there working already. And we also know from doing other projects that even if the sub doesn't happen to be local, we know they're staying over using our lodging here in our community, eating out at our restaurants, buying gas here. So all of that contributes to our local economy when a project like this gets done.
See, Diane, you should be wearing a construction hat. You're talking about subs. I'm like, what does she mean, subs? Of course, you're referring to subcontractors, right?
So sorry. Different, yes.
Yeah. Who is the general contractor for this project?
Chris?
The general contractor is Veroniak Builders.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Chris.
We had worked with them before when we had done the Beacon Hill project. A few years back, and it has been a really good working relationship.
All right. And then you're also working with another another group to kind of manage the housing as well. And this is one that some of us in town would probably be familiar with. That's D.W. Jones. Do you want to give us a little background of how they're involved with the project and how they help make this work?
D.W. Jones is involved in a couple of different ways. They have both a development arm, I would say, of their company and a property management arm. And we're working with their development team to put this project together. They helped us put the application together and are helping us manage the construction of the project. When the project is done, it will be owned by the Itasca County HRA and Northland Counseling Center. And we will be hiring D.W. Jones Management, which is a property management firm that manages properties primarily all over northern Minnesota, but several right here in the Grand Rapids area. They have a very good reputation, and they will actually be doing the leasing of the property and managing the property for us.
So if folks wanted to learn a little bit more, see about putting in an application, they would go not through Itasca County HRA, but they would go through DW Jones.
That's correct. And actually, this project is already on their website. So potential applicants can already fill out an application and get on a waiting list by either going to the DW Jones website or by calling their local office here.
Okay.
Chris, right. Hey, Chris, how many units are we talking in this facility?
Yeah, it's a 56 unit project altogether. 38 units are going to be in an apartment building, and the other 18 units will be townhomes. The townhomes will be 3 and 4 bedroom options, and the apartment units are 1, 2, and 3 bedroom options.
So I can only imagine when it's all ready to go, what that waiting list is going to be like. How in the heck are you guys going to start this thing off?
Well, the exciting part is because of the 14 tenants that we already have, those will be moving over. And so we already have a big jump start on filling those locations and are working on coordinating and planning. And then, you know, the rest of it, it's probably not going to take us very long to have the entire property filled.
Diane, well, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about the need in this area for affordable housing.
Thank you for that question. The housing study that we had done towards the end of 2019, just for our core central part of our county, the Grand Rapids, Cohasset area, showed a need for an additional 400 units in the next, well, now 4 years, because that was done in 2019. So that's a good number of units. And when you look at some of the statistics, we right now, one thing that I always try to impress upon folks is that we have less than a 1% vacancy rate in our rental housing. What that means is that for every 100 units of rental units that we have, only one is available for rent at any given time. That's an extremely tight rental market. So we definitely have a need. We have a need across the income spectrum. But there really is a need for affordable housing. And again, I say affordable is where you're paying no more than 30% of your income for rent or your mortgage, as Jesse mentioned earlier in our conversation.
And, you know, Diane, when we were talking about this earlier in this study that was done about a year ago, you know, those 400 plus units that we need in the greater Grand Rapids area, you know, that's both homes for purchase and, you know, rental homes as well. And, you know, as I've been saying in several of our previous On the House shows, there's a real lack of houses to buy out there as well. But if there's not a place.
Jesse froze on us there. Oh, there we go.
To live, you don't have a place to work, to have, you know, kids in a place where they can learn. If you don't have if you don't have a place to feel safe, your medical costs are going to be higher. You're not going to know. It's just so much harder to plan on things. So, I mean, there's so many additional things that are connected to having quality housing. So this is a health issue. This is an economic issue. This is an education issue. And so a project like this is great. And when are you going to start on the next one, guys?
Oh, I think that's a little too early to ask, Jesse.
Oh, come on.
This is quite complicated.
we're very excited to be at this point and to see the dirt start moving and the project starting. We had actually hoped to have the groundbreaking happening back in August and had some delays in the process, and so we're excited to have things moving.
And when do you expect to have your first folks moving in?
I think we're looking at December, January, December 2021 to January 2022. You know, if we can move that timeline up, that would be great. But that's kind of the current construction schedule.
All right.
So we're really pushing hard, and we hope that the contractor is able to primarily work through the winter here. So looking at about a 12-month construction period.
And what physically, what is this going to look like? What can people, I mean, are there any sketches, architect sketches that people might be able to see out there? Or can you kind of explain what the buildings are sort of going to look like?
Well, Jesse, I don't believe we have any necessarily architect sketches. You know, obviously we have full architect plans, but not necessarily renderings that show colors and things like that. But it's going to be a really, really aesthetically nice looking project. The townhomes will have patios and attached garages. The apartment building will have either a patio if you're on the first floor or a deck so folks can get outside. There will be green space in between the apartment building and the townhomes with a playground and a patio with some gas grills. It will really be a nice looking project.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, it sounds like a great addition to the neighborhood, nice and close to the Y, close to the bridge that can take them right over to the library and KXC, and they can kind of tap on the window and say hi to John and Heidi there. So, well, cool. Well, you know, Diane, Chris, is there anything that we might not have mentioned that you think is an important thing to talk about this project or projects like this?
You know, I would just add, kind of touch on what you were talking about a little bit ago, Jesse. I was asked recently, you know, why is Northland Counseling Center involved in housing? You know, we're a community mental health center. We recently received a multi-million dollar federal grant to become a community, a certified community behavioral health clinic. And the whole focus of that model is on looking at the whole person and what their needs are. So everything from primary care to any substance abuse to any mental health. And I think I just see housing as kind of that foundational piece for anybody that if you don't have good, stable housing, what is that impact on your mental health? What is that impact on your physical health long-term? And so it's just a really exciting opportunity to have, to be a part of this project and to have it happening here in Grand Rapids.
Well, I couldn't agree more. If you don't have a place to call home, it's really hard to have to survive and to strive and to be an effective member of your community. So, well, I'm just really thrilled to see this. I've been watching that dirt move around there at the site, and it's just, you know, for a community that I care about, I think this is a really exciting project to see take place. So thank you both for working hard. I mean, I've been trying to get you guys on the air for like 11 months ever since, you know, I heard about this. And so it's just really exciting to see things come together. John, Heidi, any other questions for our guests?
No, it's very, very interesting. And yeah, my question was the same one you had. When are you going to put up that second one? And the third one and the fourth one.
That, leave them alone.
Yeah, come on, slackers.
They're working hard. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. It was good to talk to you today.
Thanks for having us on.
You're welcome. All Diane Larson, Chris Jenkins, and Jesse Davis. This has been On the House on member-supported KAXE, KBXE.